Amen. No tears today because we didn't have a missionary sharing it earlier. So whew, I got through it. Good morning. Glad you guys are here. Welcome to JRC. It's amazing to see all folks this morning. I am so blessed to join you at your church. Thanks for having me here and to be surrounded by such amazing people. Let's proclaim in one voice our church's mission statement. What do? We love God and we love others. And what do we say? I love God and I love you. We're going to take a moment before I get to the official message. One of our members had brain surgery a couple of months ago, and then she had to go have some re-cleanup sort of surgery, and she's been in a lot of pain. And so if we'll just pause for a moment in service, we don't normally do this, but just to pray for her, if you'd just join me in praying for her really fast. Father, we just want to lift up Angie right now and the pain that she's going through. We ask that you place your hand on this surgery that's taken place, that you would heal her completely and you would take away her pain, God. Let me just pray for complete healing and that you would bring her joyfully back as she's such a blessing to each of us who get to interact with her each week. And so we pray for this blessing on her. We pray for your healing in her, on her head and in her skull, and just bless her, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so welcome back to our final week of Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost son. Folks love this parable. This guy demands his inheritance and he goes wild living and goes crazy, but then comes to his senses and comes running back to the father. And the father's waiting for him, runs out to him and embraces him, forgives him, and loves him. It's like this powerful image of God's grace and forgiveness. But the story doesn't end there. Jesus tells about another son, the older brother, who's equally lost and prodigal, but in a totally different way. Today, we're going to explore the second half of the parable, and in doing so, we may realize something uncomfortable, that the older brother may look more like us than we want to admit. And so let's see it. Here in Luke chapter 15, verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son, he was in the fields. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he calls one of the servants, and he asked him what's going on. Well, your brother's come home, he replied, and your father killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. So this faithful, obedient older son, he's in the field working hard for his father. Some time ago, his stupid little brother took a bunch of the family money and took off and wasted it on prostitutes and drugs and whoever knows what else he wasted it on. The older son would never bring shame to the family like that. And he comes walking in, and as he draws near, he hears this celebration that he wasn't invited to. And so he says, why is there a party? Shouldn't I at least have been informed about this party? So he asks the servant what's going on. The servant explains, and the younger brother's now wearing a ring and a robe. And the father's killed the special guest calf, you know, the one that we, you know, it's like the special china that you never bring out except for really important guests. Like, that he brought that out. You've never actually seen it. You only saw it inside the cupboard, but now it's out and being used. Why is the father acting this way, he has to think. Doesn't he know that welcoming this son back who rebelled, he's slapping the faithful son in the face? Oh, yeah, and the father, too. See, Jesus is telling this parable to a mixed crowd. There are tax collectors and sinners present, but there's also a group of Pharisees and teachers of the Mosaic Law. And those folks are incredulous that Jesus chooses to fellowship with tax collectors who take money from fellow Jewish people and give it to the Romans, that's their job, traitors, horrible people. They're offended that he eats meals with sinners, folks who have walked away from the law of God and decided to say, you know what, God, I'm going to go my way, not your way. They think that he's eating, by eating with him, he's going to condone their behavior. He's endorsing it, or at least he's like putting up with their treasonous, sinful, horrific, gross, abnormal lifestyle. And so the older brother reacts. Luke 15:28. The older brother becomes angry, and he refused to go in. So his father went out, and he pleaded with him, angry. That's his first reaction. It's pretty telling. And then he refused to go in. And so the father goes out to the son, just like he did for the younger son. we see the father has the same care for the older son that he had for the younger son. Remember, the younger son was coming back. The father ran out to him. He went out to him. And here, this older son is coming in. As he comes towards the house, the father goes out to him. This is a remarkable act of love. But the older son doesn't embrace the father. He distances himself from the father. Very different reactions to the father's approach. One begged to come home. The other refuses to come in. So the father implores him to come in. The father pleads with him. The father is willing to, again, like we saw with the first son, shame himself so that he can convince the son that he wants him there. He sees his distress. He's not dismissive of him. Just as he pursued the younger son running toward home, he pursues the older son refusing to come home. You see, there's room for both. But the son isn't having it. Check out what he says. But he answered his father. Look. I'll translate it if you're Korean. Yeah. You know. I don't know. Careful. Careful. In English. What's up, pops? Look. All these years, I've been slaving for you. I never disobeyed you. But you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. I don't know about the tone, but, you know, like, you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate. This is a very intense reaction. This has been simmering. What does he say? He says, I'm the slave. I've been slaving for you. That's this word. I've been slaving for doulos. I've been a slave for you. Remember what the younger son said when he came back? God, if you'll just let me be a slave. And this guy's saying, God, I've been, oh, God, or father. Yeah, remember, this parable is between God and you, me and God, God and me. He said, I've been slaving for you this whole time. And that's what the younger son was willing to accept. But this entitled son shows that it's an insult. He obeyed, but clearly not out of love or gratitude. He says, you owe me more than the everything that you already gave me. Why might he be angry? There are four seemingly valid reasons from his statements that would indicate why he should be angry. The first is because his sense of fairness has been violated. I worked all these years, and I never disobeyed. And this guy comes back, and he's celebrated. That's not fair. The older brother isn't wrong in pointing out that he's been faithful. But here's the problem. You see, he sees obedience as leverage, not as love for the father, but as currency for a reward. This is just transactional love. And I think we can fall into that same trap. We're serving God not out of love, but expecting that our good behavior will earn us some reward or bonus or special treatment. And when others receive grace, especially those people that we don't think deserve it, maybe it offends us a little. We would never say it out loud, but maybe inside it does. That's not fair. The second reason he might be angry is his sense of rightness is violated. His brother's actions seem unforgivable, and the father's response seems indefensible. In addition to the cultural and familial shame that he's brought, it's an insult to all the older brother has done for the father. It's not right from his perspective, It's not right from my eyes, the son says. And it's not right, third reason to be angry, in comparison. He's resentful that the father's made such an extravagant fuss over his wayward brother, while the obedient brother hasn't even been given like a small thing that he can have a party with his friends. By making this comparison, he reveals that he's blind to all that he has. He's unappreciative. every day he's had the Father's company and a great home. And the Father's love was around him constantly. And everything that the Father has was his. And he's ungrateful, unappreciative. He's got so used to the Father's going to be there and take care of him that he starts to take it for granted. I've said many times that comparison is a major tool of the devil, because in comparison, no one wins. If you're on the upside of the comparison, you get arrogant. If you're on the downside, you get shamed. One way or another, it's bad. The fourth reason he could be angry is that the father's wrong. The older son feels that the father rewarded the wrong son. He said, Dad, there's two sons. Guess which one should get the reward? The idiot who wasted a third of our family's money on stupid, stupid stuff, or the one that's been super faithful? Who gets the reward? The proud and self-righteous always feel like they are not treated as well as they deserve. What the older brother fails to see is that the father considers him closer than he realizes. He's not slaving for the father's estate. He's actually building his own. The celebration has nothing to do with him, but to those who are bitter, everything is against them. This is a self worldview. It is not a God worldview. The remedy is not to see through the eyes of yourself, but to see through the eyes of the Father instead. He said, I never transgressed. You never gave me. This sort of like exaggerations, they're common for people who hold on to bitterness. The older son finally shows the bitterness to the father, but only after it's done its damage inside of him all these years long. But he continues his rant. He says, but when the son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes, he comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him? So he refers to him not as his brother, but this son of yours. My wife and I do that all the time when we want to blame the other for our kids' actions. So Hidgen, your son just said this and this and this, right? And I'm like, oh, my son. Now, that's not true. That's a bad analogy, because my son said something really nice last night. And I was like, oh, nice. This is so cute. So, yeah, it was my son last night. So it's not Hidgen's kid right now. Ethan is currently my son, so. But he doesn't refer him to this way. The older brother is, like, denying all personal connection. But the father wants him to see that, like, the brother's return is a blessing for the whole family. It's bringing the family back together. It's reuniting the family. It's bringing a part that was missing or was dead or was gone, and now it's restored, and we're together, and we can be whole. But he doesn't see it. See, the older brother is physically near, but he's emotionally and spiritually far from the father. In trying to do all the right things, he actually missed the heart of the father. Outwardly, he looked like he was nailing it. But inwardly, he wasn't. He knew the rules. He followed the rules. He did the right thing. He got straight A's. He went to a UC. He was a lawyer or a doctor, whichever. Like, he did all the right things. He went to church. He did everything right. But inside, he wasn't. He was just doing those things for a reward, or doing those things for himself, or doing those things so that he could be noticed. We too can be in the house of God. We could be near the things of God and yet still be far from the Father's heart. We could know the rules, we could keep them, and still not know the joy of relationship with the Father. See, until we begin to view the world like God views the world, until we begin to view people like God views people and circumstances like God views them, until we start to have, instead of myself view, which is always going to be skewed, until we get a God view of things, we will never be satisfied. We will always just be working for ourselves or trying to do the right thing, but we'll never have a near relationship to the Father. It may look good from the outside, and we may even think it looks good, and we may be even bitter when someone doesn't notice it. But we won't be near to the heart of the Father because we're seeing things from our perspective. How does the Father see it? He says, that's a son that was lost I love, and I also love you. There's space for both of them. We're the lost son until this clicks inside of us. Until we decide to see the world through the eyes of God, not through the eyes of men, then we will never be near the heart of the Father. We will never see people, especially ones that we think are lower than us or worse than us, we will never see them rightly if we look at them through our eyes instead of the eyes of the Father. Here's the Father's corrective response. He says, my son, not Hedgen's son, my son, the Father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. You're always with me. It ought to be enough to give you joy that you're always with me. Remember that this parable is about God and you. Is God enough for you? Or do you constantly want God and something else? Is God enough for you? Or do you want God and health? And God and a really good job, God and straight A's, God and A pluses, and God and this? Or am I satisfied with just God? Is God just enough, or am I a God and person? I will never be satisfied if it's God and, because God doesn't want to share. He doesn't want to have an and attached with him. If I want to be near to God, it's God. And there are lots of other things in life, and they're really great and cool and fun. But is God enough? The Father says, everything I have is yours. It's yours already. You just didn't realize it because you can't be content with what you're given. Are we content with what we're given? Are we missing out on the Father's incredible blessing and provision because we have an insatiable desire to have more? We're like that little mermaid. I want more. Remember the parable? I told you 4 weeks to remember the beginning of this parable. Does anyone remember I told you remember what the father does? When the guy asks for the inheritance, the father splits the inheritance and he gives it to the sons, it says. And so remember that? It started with the father dividing the estate and he gave the younger son his share. Now the younger son's share is 1/3 of the estate. And the reason is because the older brother always gets a double portion of what the rest of the children get. And so if there's two brothers, he gets a double portion of the younger brother. So he would get 2/3 of the estate. The younger brother would get 1/3 of the estate. If there were 4 children, the oldest brother would get a double portion of the others. And you could figure out the math. I'm not doing it on stage. And so however that would work. And so when we think about it, the older brother, he's actually already gotten a double portion of the father's estate. Every moment that he's been working, he's building his own future, but he was too self-absorbed to realize that whatever work he accomplishes, it builds his own inheritance. He always wanted more, but he had the everything. The father said he had already given the 2/3 of the estate to him. You have the whole thing. The rest is already gone. It got squandered. The entire estate is yours. This other kid, he's just going to come and like kind of live here. But it's not his estate. He's not getting any more inheritance. He's not taking anything from you. You've already got it all. And I think about us, you know, like, I've already got it all. God gave us the kingdom of eternal life and the keys to heaven. And then we squabble over like crumbs on this dirty planet, like cockroaches fighting over a dirty piece of whatever cockroaches eat. Dad continues. He says, we had to celebrate. We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours, he's dead and alive again. He's lost and now he's found. The father never made excuses for the younger brother or say that like what he did was okay. The father just points out that a miracle happened and it's worth celebrating. That's what happened. He said, a miracle happened and let's celebrate it. If the older brother loved the father or he loved the younger brother, then he would join the celebration. He could invite his friends, and then it would be like a really great occasion to have a party. You wanted a goat, we got a calf. You don't need a little goat with your friends. How about you come, we have this whole calf, and we celebrate together. If he had any love for the father or the brother, he would have done this. Contrast the attitudes. Younger brother, father, I don't deserve to be called your son, right? Father, I don't deserve. Older brother, father, I deserve more. So which is the lost son here? He can't receive the father's love because he's closed off. He thinks he's good enough. He thinks he's earned it. He thinks that his merit demands rewards. How about us? Look, I'll do good deeds so that God will love me more. Maybe that was how it was in your family, so you think that's how it is in God's family. I'll do all these things so that I can earn favor, so that my business will be successful, or that I'll get good grades, or my kids will be healthy, or this cancer will get healed. See, any number of ways that we think that if we do something for God, then he'll do something for us. Transactional love. If I do good things, God will like me more. Here's God's, or the Father's, continued correction. He says we had to celebrate. Grace demands celebration. Mercy insists on joy. The Father's love is not limited or earned. If he gives it to you, that doesn't mean he has less to give someone else. And you can't earn it, you can't buy it. He doesn't like you more if you do good things. It is freely given. He loves you the maximum amount he can love you. He loves you right where you are, even if he doesn't like some of the things you're doing. He absolutely loves you. When we understand that, we stop comparing and we start celebrating. See, the celebration isn't about the younger son. It isn't in honor of his, like, newfound humility. The celebration isn't because what a great guy he is. The celebration is an invitation into the outpouring of the Father's joy. The celebration is because the Father is joyful. The Father is excited. The Father is happy. The Father is pleased. The Father is stoked. That's why there's a celebration. Not because the guy, he didn't earn it. He's not a good guy. He didn't all of a sudden not do those bad things. The celebration is because of the miracle of a transformed person welcomed back into the home of the Father. And this parable is about us and the world around us. The celebration is an invitation into the Father's joy. The Father, true, he has given him a ring and a best robe to the younger son, but that too doesn't come because he deserves it. It comes because the Father's joyful and he gives it freely. See, God's forgiveness doesn't cheapen the steady service of a religious leader. It magnifies it, or it invites that person to celebrate alongside of God. Isn't that cool that the older son, if he has the right mind, the Father says, hey, let us celebrate the return of this person, that us is, he's part of the Father's us. If we get it right and we're maybe the older brother in the situation and I have the right attitude, then I get to come alongside God and I get to say, God's celebrating this. I want to celebrate this. God's doing this. I want to do this. God is excited over this and joyful over these things. I want to be excited and joyful over these things. When I start to see from the Father's perspective or out of the eyes of God, it changes how I see the world. Gosh, I know that person's sinning, and I know that it's not right, but I still love them, and I'm still going to care for them. And if they make some changes, I'm going to celebrate, be excited. I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to compare myself to them. There were two lost sons in this parable. One was lost in rebellion. The other was lost in self-righteousness. And the Father went out to both of them. So the question isn't only, are you a prodigal? But also, are you an older brother? And the answer is probably a little bit of both. Probably we have a little bit of both in us. And so for the older brothers among us, lay down your scorecards. God's not looking for servants who demand rewards, but sons and daughters who love and celebrate and live in his presence. presence and in his embrace. For those who struggle with resentment when other people are blessed, maybe you ask God to soften your heart and realize that you can come alongside him in his joy as he extends mercy to people. And for everyone, enter the joy of the Father. It's not earned one way or the other, but it's given freely. It's a love offered to all. The love is offered to those who are still far off, who haven't even had that come to your senses moment. God's love is offered to them. God's love is offered to those that are on the road back. And God's love is offered to those who never left, who've been a Christian since you were a baby, since your parents brought you into the house. God's love has been with you every moment. And don't allow nearness to make you ungrateful or to miss the things of God. Because sometimes familiarity breeds contempt, if you've heard that phrase. Don't allow that you've been in church so long, you've been following Jesus so long, that it sort of brings a callousness. Don't allow it. God loves those who never left as well. And so I want you to pray a prayer like this before we close in worship. Would you pray a prayer that, in your own word, that something sounds something like, God, help us not to miss you in the blessings of our life. Help us not to become blind to your gracious provision for the lost, of which I count myself one of them. God, I want to celebrate the lost returning to you, and I want to celebrate the faithful who stay with you. And so would you pray something like that, wherever you are, whether you're the prodigal of last week or you're the older brother of this week, would you pray in your own words, God, I want to celebrate with you because you love both persons. You love all persons. And would you pray that, and then we'll worship together.